This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قد أفلح من تزكى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, my dear mothers and fathers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to yet another episode in our short series titled Tazkiyatun Nafs. And Jazakumullahu khayran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for allowing me to be a virtual guest in your home. I pray I will be a worthy one. My dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, in our last episode, we introduced Tazkiyatun Nafs, its definition linguistically, as well as what it means in terms of our series together. And when we discussed the nafs, we went on to share three states that the nafs can exist in as taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that we have an nafs, ammaratun bisu, the nafs which is inclined towards evil, a great inclination. And we spoke a little bit about it. And in summary, it's that nafs which loves harm, loves following its desires. When I say harm, I mean following its desires, because when a person follows his or her desires, this person is actually harming themselves. And it's a nafs that does sin and doesn't regret. It doesn't regret. And I think it's important that we highlight this. Perhaps I didn't mention this in the last episode, and this is important so that we don't become too sad when we ponder over ourselves. Because I think most of us, and this is the case inshallah, are upon the second state of the nafs. And that is the nafs al-lawama, which is the self-reproaching nafs. The nafs which strives to do good. And if it does bad, then it regrets. So it's not that we're not weak and we don't make a mistake and we don't fall into sin. But the nafs al-lawama is the one that regrets. And as we find in the sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, an-nadamu tawbah, that regret is repentance, is a form of repentance, right? So when you do a sin and you regret, that regret is a sign of iman. Because if you did not fear your standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you did not believe in the grave and the reality of the grave, and if you did not believe that there's angels logging in your actions, if you did not believe that, you would not feel regret. So the fact that that regret is there, this is a good sign. A lot of people, they write in to me, they call me up, and they're really sad, and they say, we've done these mistakes. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sharia. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge of Islam. And I smile and happily say to them that thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you are a believer inshaAllah. Because the fact that you are writing in, the fact that you are calling in, the fact that you feel this regret, the fact that you feel sad is a sign of iman. This is the only reason. Why else would you feel sad when you disobey Allah? So nafs al-lawama is this nafs that it strives towards doing good and it fights its desire when it comes to doing evil. And if it does make a mistake and fall into sin, then it regrets and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks repentance. With regards to the first nafs, and nafs ammaratun bisu, or nafs ammaratun bisu, which is the one inclined towards evil, it really does not enjoy doing any good. And it loves doing evil. And when it does this evil, it doesn't regret doing this evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this nafs. And then we discussed the ideal nafs, And may Allah grant us this nafs. And this is known as nafsul mutma'innah, the self-content nafs, the nafs which really has no, or hates haram, hates disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feels no inclination towards it, and feels uncomfortable when this nafs is near anything that can be misguidance or that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. And it loves ibadah, it loves remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with its tongue, with its heart, even with its actions. It makes sure everything is from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and likes and has commanded to, and everything else which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to stay away from, then it stays away from that. So this was our discussion, alhamdulillah, in our last session, and this is a brief summary. With that, brothers and sisters, let's conclude what we mean when we say tazkiyatun nafs, especially for the course of this series. What we are saying is purification as well as development of you and I, of the self, you and I as beings on earth, purification of ourselves. This is what we are referring to, and might I add to it, based on the Quran and the Sunnah, purifying ourselves as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, why tazkiyatun nafs? Why is it important to purify ourselves? I touched on this in our earlier episode, right? When I said we are more implicit than we are explicit, or importance is more for the implicit than it is for the explicit. And I want you to understand this, because sometimes people say, but what do you mean when you say this? Now, brothers and sisters, when you visit a friend, you visit a family member, you visit somebody you love, right? You visit them, their body is in front of you. And a lot of the time, we see ourselves as visiting the body, but in reality, we're visiting the soul. We're visiting the soul, which is housed by the body. And to understand this better, perhaps you have an instance where someone close to you has passed away, that you knew when they were alive, and you visited them. And before they're buried, you go to see their body. And when you stand in front of them, you see their eyes, you see their nose, you see the face that you used to see, you see their mouth, you see everything. In fact, their heart is in them, there's blood inside their body, right? The pupils are in their eyes, their ears have the mechanisms that they would need to have to hear when they were alive. All this is in place. But can you interact with them? No. Can you greet them? Would you get a response? No. Can they see you? No. Can they hear you? No. What's happened? The soul has been removed. The electricity that powers all this has been removed, right? So understand this, that when we meet each other, right? It's a meeting of souls that have been housed by a body, right? And this is what I mean when I say that we are more implicit than we are explicit, or the importance should be more for the implicit than the explicit, and our Sharia has taught us this leaps and bounds, right? We just have to ponder over the sources that we read. From the outset, brothers and sisters, we've heard a lot about niyyah and intention and purifying our intention and making things solely for the sake of Allah. Time and time again, we've heard the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." There's nothing about your actions except that they will be judged based on the intention present when the outer happened. The action is the outer. But does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge us to have prayed salah just because we look like we prayed salah? No. Allah judges us to have prayed salah if the intention of salah is present, if it's solely for His sake, if it's upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sharia really drives our focus to our character, not the personality, not the outside, but the inside, right? So this is one of the reasons why tazkiyatun nafs is mighty. Tazkiyatun nafs is important. Purifying the self is important. It's not about how people perceive us. People perceive us to be honest, so that's good. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us to be. And Allah doesn't look at the outer, He looks at the inner. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَجْسَادِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an established narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your outer. He doesn't look at your bodies and your appearances. He looks at your heart and He looks at your deeds. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at when He judges us. And we need to really take heed of these realities, my dear brothers and sisters. And inshallah, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, when we dive into some of those matters that help bring tazkiyah in our lives, we'll touch upon this in greater detail. So this is one of the aspects, right? And why this study is important. And when we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or look in it, we see in one particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking 11 oaths before He teaches us about the entirely successful self. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. 11 oaths. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take an oath upon that which is insignificant or for that which is insignificant. Teaching us that the entirely successful self, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to teach us about, is very important. Because not does, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just take one oath, but 11 oaths. And this is in a surah which we love, in a surah which we read time and time again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُحَاهَا. Surah al-Shams. Allah says, by the sun and its brightness. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And by the moon when it follows it. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And by the day when it displays it. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا. And by the night when it covers it. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And by the sky and He who constructed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. And by the earth and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who spread it. وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And by the self, and the soul, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala who proportioned it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired it with the ability to differentiate between that which is righteousness and that which is wickedness and that which is evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The truly successful one, the entirely successful one, is the one who purifies it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who truly fails is the one who fails to purify it, or the one who instills it with corruption. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 11 oaths before teaching us about the entirely successful self. And when we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us about the entirely successful self, we see again emphasis from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in how He taught us, further teaching us how important this topic of tazkiyatun nafs is. Now, what I want you all to do is get a mushaf, open it, go to Surah al-Shams and read the ayat that I've just shared with you. Read its meaning, ponder over it, and inshallah we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we will further our discussion pertaining to the importance of the study of tazkiyatun nafs. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.